I'm Pick.
And I'm Shovel.
Welcome to Breaking Soil.
Yeah, welcome, guys.
This is episode 5.
What do we got here, son?
It's a Waterloo.
What is that? Waterloo. Tropical fruit. Yeah. Here you go.
Cheers. Episode 5. So,
yeah.
I've already started. Did you hear that? I said so, and then
I haven't done that yet.
The goal of this episode is for us to focus a little bit more on our speaking and not bad speaking.
So, correct.
So. Less so's, less ums, less ahs, less mumbling, more talking directly into the mic. That's the goal.
So what do you got for us on this news? U.S. and globally.
I thought we could talk about the Democratic National Convention a little bit. We don't have to talk a lot about it. I just thought it happened and we should recognize that it happened. I have a clip.
Yeah, go ahead and play it.
With this election has a precious, fleeting opportunity to move past the bitterness, cynicism, and divisive battles of the past, a chance to chart a new way forward. Just imagine Donald Trump with no guardrails. And how he would use the immense powers of the presidency of the United States. Not to improve your life, not to strengthen our national security, but to serve the only client he has ever had, himself. I promise to be a president for all Americans. You can always trust me to put country above party and self. I accept your nomination to be president of the United States of America.
Yeah, so that's a clip I pulled from YouTube, basically with the highlights of the speech. I thought it was a fairly well-written speech. It was delivered okay. What did you think?
I did not listen to a lot of the DNC. I didn't catch her speech. I did catch part of Michelle Obama's, she was, one of the last ones to speak on it. So the curiosity got me there. So that's the only thing that I really saw. On that.
Is there any clips that you wanted to play?
No, I think we covered it. I mean, one of the big things was RFK Jr. bowing out and supporting Trump, I thought was pretty significant. And it just so happened to be during the DNC. So.
All right, you want to move on to the next?
Yeah, let's. What do we got?
Did you hear about the Starliner crew?
Oh, yeah, they're stuck up there. Yeah, that's terrible.
They are stuck up there until February now. So they're going to send back the capsule. This seems to be finalized. So the Boeing Starliner capsule is going to be sent from the ISS without a crew back to Earth. And the crew is going to come back in February on a SpaceX rocket. So that's very bad for Boeing.
Very bad. And I always think of the families that are watching it unfold like that. It's not like you're in a faraway country. You're out in space. It's not like they're just going to swing by and bust and pick them up and bring them home. It's a big to-do. So I my prayers go out to them and their families. Hopefully it all works out.
All right. Did you hear about Nicolas Maduro?
The guy in Venezuela.
Yeah. He's not giving up power. There were external countries, people from external countries like Brazil. The U.S. was keeping a close eye on the election as well. They wanted it to be equal and, I'm trying to think of the word, fair, equal and fair elections in Venezuela. And by all accounts, they were not. So Nicolas Maduro is not giving up power. One of the things I thought was interesting was that Venezuela uses Smartmatic voting machines, which are used in the United States. And Smartmatic and Dominion voting systems were both used in the 2020 presidential election and by all accounts will be used again in the upcoming. If I was sitting there voting on a Smartmatic system, I would be a little bit, if I was putting in my vote, right, and it said Smartmatic on the machine, I would be leery about it. I would be questioning, like, okay, well, how does this work? Where do the result, how do we know that those don't get changed? Where do they get stored, you know?
That should be sacred.
It should be paper ballots.
It should be sacred, man, because you know every vote counts. Can computers be manipulated?
Yes.
Yeah, no question. I feel for the people from Venezuela because, you know, when you're dealing with somebody who's has history like this Maduro guy, he's clearly a dictator in the eyes of the world. We all see it, the way he's running this country. I just hope to God that there isn't a coup against him and then there's just that turmoil that comes afterwards. So I just, hopefully everything works out over there. But if he's in there, it's going to be more of the same. Technically, I think it's a communist country in my eyes, just from my view of it. But hopefully everything works out.
I don't know if it's a communist country.
Well, he has it in the face of democracy, but when he has to control the elections, if he is
it
doing...
It may be more of a dictatorship.
Well, there's no question.
I don't know if it's a communist country.
But aren't they linked with, like, Russia and China and all these places? Aren't they buying their oil?
I don't know. I know that there's supposedly sanctions against Venezuela because of the unequal election. Like the elections have not been historically fair. Right. And because of that, the United States has sanctions against Venezuela. I don't know if other nations are doing the same thing.
Mm. I haven't done a lot of research on Nicolas Maduro, but I know there's a lot of chaos. And
well, he's a dictator that's not giving up power. That part I do know.
Yep.
All right. The other stories, the Russia-Ukraine war, Ukraine took over a small area in the Kursk region. There was different numbers given as to how big of a region it is. I heard 10 kilometers. I heard 10 miles. I heard figures that were higher than that, but not, it really isn't a very big region. And the other news item with the Russia-Ukraine war was that there was the largest drone strike against Moscow happened this week.
That's big.
I think that Moscow reported shooting down something like 40, which to me doesn't seem like a lot, but 40 drones. I saw photos, Russian signs in Moscow at these parks that say no drone zone, basically citing penalties for violating. Basically, if you're a Russian citizen, you're not allowed to fly drones in these parks. It's illegal because it's a problem. The Ukrainians are flying drones over there.
They probably don't issue licenses like we do out here in the U.S. to fly these drones.
The other item that I thought was worth bringing up was the Israeli Hamas conflict. There are peace talks in Cairo. A Hamas delegation was sent, but they are not participating supposedly in the peace talks. The United States has representation there. The CIA director, William Burns, is there, along with the Qatari Prime Minister, Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman Al Thani. And the other thing I heard this week was that part of the problem is that pretty much everything that goes into the ceasefire talks involves the releasing of hostages, which we're thinking that they're mostly dead. And that's part of the problem, that even if Hamas were to agree to all of the terms, they can't produce these hostages. Attacks continue with Palestinian death tolls around 40,000. I also heard that, I believe it was a child, I think it was a younger child, was found to have polio. And that there is an actual polio outbreak taking place in Palestine.
Wow, that's not good. That leaves kids crippled. That's a terrible disease.
All right. You wanted to talk about the Shroud of Turin?
Yeah, just briefly, something that I was looking at.
Maybe just explain what it is first for those who don't know what the Shroud of Turin is.
When Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross by the Romans, he was taken down, and this wealthy Israel official, his name was Joseph, had a tomb cut out for him, and when they brought his body down, he was beaten, and he was really badly bleeding a lot, and so they wrapped him in this tomb cloth, and they brought him to the tomb. Well, this Shroud of Turin is actually an image on that cloth that they've kept for over since, you know, that event happened. A lot of people that discount that Shroud of Turin, that Jesus ever existed, or that was him in that cloth, use carbon dating, saying that it was not the type of material or that the carbon dating said, and they dated it back to the 1500s. Well, there was another study by some people in Italy that actually confirmed that this type of cloth was made during that time. And so that was a big story, especially for Christians around the world. So that I thought that was really, really interesting. That's what I had that really struck my eye on that. I just want to say this note to, if anybody is reading here, is that I'm learning a lot through this whole process, expanding my horizons on this world, what's happening. And, you know, a lot of us here in the U.S., you know, we, even though with all the troubles we have, we still have a great country. And but just seeing what everybody's going through in the world really opens my eyes of how blessed we are in this country. So just wanted to put that note in there. I'm learning a lot doing this show with my son.
All right, let's move on to the numbers. The By the Numbers segment, I still don't know what it's going to be. It might get completely swapped out for a different topic in the future.
Right.
This week, I thought it would be fun to just go through some of the debt that other countries have. I know we talked about the debt that we have as Americans, but we're not the only ones in debt. So I brought the debt clock.
I thought that was pretty neat.
There's a debt clock, usdebtclock.org/world-debt-clock.html. You can just search world debt clock, and it gives you not just the United States, but China, Japan, Germany, UK, India, France, Italy, Brazil, Canada, Argentina, Australia, Belgium, Greece, Indonesia, Ireland, Korea. I mean, all of these nations are in debt, and to the tune of trillions. China's $14 trillion in debt. Japan's $13 trillion in debt. Germany's $3 trillion in debt. The UK is close to $4 trillion in debt. India's $3 trillion in debt.
Those are big companies, big economies.
Big countries. Yeah. So, I mean, we're not the only ones that are in debt. The other thing this week was the jobs numbers. There was a jobs report in March that came out, and it was off by 818,000 jobs. So the yearly job report that ended in March 2024 was wrong, and it was off by a million, which is quite a bit.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Bitcoin is up 8% this week, 64,400. Ethereum is up 4.5% this week to 2,768. Litecoin is down 1.77% this week at $65. I think that the rest of the numbers I won't report on.
Yeah, and maybe we can pick maybe one or two commodities like gold and, you know, stuff that's, you know, silver, stuff like that. You know, maybe a couple commodities. I don't know. See what you think. But we can do that next week.
All right. We're at 26 minutes. Do you want to play a game?
Yeah, sure. What do you got?
I have a theme song.
Shall we play a game?
Hello. Do you want to play a game?
It's time for a game.
It's time for a game.
All right.
So I thought we could play Family Feud.
Oh, I've seen that show before.
So I will give you a topic.
Okay. Hey, which show host did you like when the Family Feud on? Because they had a couple of them. There was one guy that used to kiss all his I forgot what his name was. He was on Hogan's Heroes. He would. All the beautiful women that are on the hit, I was, hey, how you doing, darling? And you give him a kiss. And he was pretty suave. And then we had another guy, and then I forgot who the other, but he's the one I remember the most. Oh, and Steve Harvey did it also as well.
Yeah, Steve Harvey's the guy that I kind of...
That's the one you... Yeah.
Yeah, didn't one guy commit suicide?
Oh, I didn't hear about that one. Yeah, there might have... There was one guy in between when the other guy retired or he died. I'm not sure. Forgot what his name was. He was on Hogan's Heroes. Yeah. He was an English or European.
Yeah, died by suicide.
Oh, really?
Ray Combs, the host of Family Feud from 1988 to 1994, died by suicide at the age of 40 in 1996.
Who's the original co-host? I know you bring his name up. Oh, I forget. He's on Hogan's Heroes. That's all I remember.
Ray Combs, John O'Hurley, Richard Dawson.
Richard Dawson, I think, was his name. Yeah.
Louis Anderson did it for a while.
Wow.
Al Roker.
Al Roker did it too? They must have been like just guest hosts. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think Louis Anderson did it for a little bit.
Yeah. I think it was Richard Dawson. He's the one that played on Hogan's Heroes, I believe. He's the guy that was always kissing the girls in there and... He was pretty smooth. He was really good for the show. But yeah, it was a really fun show. Clean show. I liked it.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Name something a funeral director would hate to discover about the body they're about to bury. And you get three strikes.
Three strikes?
Yeah.
Read that question again.
Name something a funeral director would hate to discover about the body they're about to bury.
He smells.
Yep.
That's one?
6 points.
Okay. The other thing he would hate to find out is if he didn't put makeup on.
Name something a funeral director would hate to discover about the body they're about to bury. No.
Oh, nope. That was one buzz, huh?
Yep.
Okay. To bury. Wow.
They would hate to discover.
Before he buries them?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to show up to the funeral. Or nobody's going to show up to the burial.
Nope.
The hole was not dug before the... You know, they bury him.
No, that's a good one, but no.
No?
No.
That is a three strikes?
That's three strikes.
So what were they?
That it's alive.
Oh, yeah, that would be something. What was the other one?
That it's the wrong person.
Oh, yeah.
Then you said that it reeks. That was the third answer. That it's missing.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
That it has something contagious.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'd be worried about that.
Yeah, that would be really bad.
That had, like, the measles or the mumps or something.
Oh, yeah, or something. Like some sort of skin disease. Yeah, something you could catch. Yeah, that would be really bad.
All right. Do you want to play another one?
Sure. I did terrible at that one. I don't know how good I'm going to do in the next one, but let's give it a shot. What do you got?
Name something that might be a day old.
Bread.
Okay, food, yep. That's 71 points. There's four answers.
Meat?
Food.
Oh, food is... Oh, that was one of them. Yeah. Okay. A day old. A baby?
That's number two.
A day old. A newspaper?
News. That's pretty good, man. That's three. There's one more. You're not going to get this.
No. Day old. A girlfriend.
No.
Oh, that's one buzz. That's the... Wow. Day old. Wedding night.
No.
Wow, that's a tough one.
You're never going to get it, man.
All right, give me one more shot. I'm going to say something else. Let me see. Day old. I don't know.
Animal or insect.
Oh, yeah, I would have never got that one. Yeah, that was something. That. Yeah.
Well, name something a wife turns on just to annoy her husband.
Oh. Turns on a soap opera.
TV.
Yeah, TV. Yep. Turned on radio.
That's number two. I don't think you're going to get the next two.
There's two more?
Two more.
Okay. To annoy her husband. Turn on. Wow. I'm going into blank, and I've been married 40-something years. Shows my wife's a saint. Let's see. What? I don't know. What are the other two?
Vacuum and the lights.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
All right. And that's how you play a game.
Hey, I'm going to have to bring one up so you can play.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I'll have to find one.
You could use this list.
What is that website? You can send it to me. All right.
What's next?
Let's see. Pop culture, looks like.
Did you hear about the Australian dancer, Rachel Gunn?
No, I didn't. What's up with her?
Okay, we got to play this. You need.
I didn't see the site on here.
What?
Oh, now it's on TikTok.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
You got to look at this video, man. All right, let's see.
All right. Well, can you describe it? Because I mean, now there's people coming on our site.
I'm gonna play it.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to bring it up.
This is the music. Oh, she's dancing. She's doing the kangaroo hop. It's so bad, man. but what's cool about it is, so this Australian breakdancer, she got 0 points at the Olympics. It's the worst dance you've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Oh, my
but
gosh.
But what's funny about it is a synchronized underwater swimmer took her routine and did the whole routine underwater.
Oh.
And it's dope.
Really?
Oh, it's so dope. Yeah, it's really cool.
That sounds
but
really...
she's everywhere. She's a meme. Everybody's making fun of her. Her
name is terrible,
Rachel
man.
Gunn. They call her Ray Gunn. That's her name.
Yeah, that's oh, I hate it when people make fun of people. Oh, it's just
yeah, but
terrible.
She's famous now. She's totally famous.
Well, because of that, but I mean, is that something you'd want to be famous about? Somebody
no.
making fun of you?
No, but it will be, everybody says it'll be a top Halloween costume, her outfit. She looks crazy.
Really?
She doesn't look hip hop at all. She's dressed in like an Australian, you know, green
right,
Australian
right,
jumpsuit.
Right. Yeah.
Did you see it?
I didn't see it. I tried to bring it up. It wouldn't come up. But
it wouldn't come up?
I you put the link in there on there and I couldn't get it. So I'll take a look at it later, but the Olympics. I mean, did you watch any of that? I mean, how much of that Olympics did you watch?
I watched the basketball and the soccer. I watched some things. I watched like some things. I watched fencing a little bit. I watched a little bit of ping pong. I watched a little bit of everything.
Do you know how many athletes we had in that Olympics 2020?
590 something.
Yep, 594 to be exact. Do you know how many medals we won out of those 594 athletes competing? 125 medals. We had 40 gold, 44 silver, and 41 bronze. Do you know how many athletes China had?
No, I do not.
They had a little over 500. Do you know how many they won? 91 medals, 40 gold, same as we did, 27 silver, and 24 bronze. And then the third place team for medal count was the Japanese. But I thought over 10,714 athletes competed in over 329 events in 32 sports and 48 disciplines. It was a big to-do. I only watched a couple things. I did watch the basketball when we won the, you know, the gold. And I think I watched a couple of the swimming. And that was... Oh, and a couple of gymnastics because my wife was watching that. So I didn't watch a lot. But it's going to be in our backyard in 2028 in Los Angeles. That's going to be a big deal. So big, big news for us in 4 years. What do we got now? I mean...
You had your pop culture story?
Oh, yeah. I just watched two movies. I watched one with you. I thought they were very good, both of them. Bad Boys, Ride or Die with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. I just thought it was a good, clean show and absolutely funny with those two guys. They're just great characters. And again, cops and trying to figure out. I'm not going to give away the plot or anything like that, but a really good show. Worth watching if you haven't seen it. And what'd you think of it? You saw it?
I thought it was okay.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, because the shows nowadays, I mean, some of them are really good and some are really bad. And I thought this one was well done.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, it was
okay. I didn't think it was amazing. I'm not like a big Bad Boys.
But have you seen the other ones, right?
I think I've seen all of them. Yeah. I think I have. I don't.
But they didn't really move you.
They never have.
No. But it's not like Star Wars or anything like that. Not even close, right? Not even.
I like Star Wars movies, but I haven't really been. The movies that have come out since the original series have been pretty rough.
Yeah. But I mean, in comparison, I mean, because I know you like.
Yes. I'd rather watch a Star Wars movie than a Bad Boys movie.
Yeah. Yeah. The other movie that I thought was really, I just saw it last night with my wife, was with Mark Wahlberg and Halle Berry, and the name of it was A Union, and it's definitely like a CI operative show, and again, I thought it was nicely done. I saw it on Netflix. I thought it was pretty good. It had a lot of action.
Without telling the end of the story, what's it about?
Halle Berry is working for some organization that's connected to the CIA. Halle Berry is an agent, and Mark Wahlberg's just a good old town boy from New Jersey working his job. He's been at for 15 years. Well, those two were girlfriend and boyfriend in high school, and Halle Berry seeks him out and brings him onto the agency. He has no training or anything like that, and so I'll leave it at that. It's funny, but a lot of action in it. So really, really good story. Wow. We got through that. Sports is what I think you got next on the docket here. A lot of sports going on.
I thought we could do pick'ems. The college football has already started. Florida State, number 10.
Wow, yeah.
Remember, they're number 10 ranked. They already lost to Georgia Tech, who is unranked.
Yeah, they were ranked number 10 in the AP poll, I guess, that I was looking at, 25. They were in the top 10.
Florida State was, yeah.
Yeah, Florida State was. Georgia Tech was definitely not in that, so that really messed up their probably rankings to make the national championship. But
the three games that I have listed as games to watch next week are number 14 Clemson versus number 1 Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Atlanta, Georgia at 12 p.m. on ABC.
Yep.
Notre Dame, number 7 ranked, at number 20 ranked Texas A&M. That's at 7:30 p.m. on ABC. USC, number 23 ranked USC, University of Southern California, versus number 13th ranked LSU. That's in Las Vegas. And that's at 7:30. I think that's on Sunday. I think.
Yeah.
That's also on ABC. That's the next day.
You know who the top 10 are in the AP poll? Who's favored to go to, according to the critics, from what I've been watching on the online and listening to the shows, who do you think is going to win the national championship? They have one team that they really think is going to make it.
I don't know.
Georgia, and they think Ohio State. Those two, they're the number 1 and number 2. They don't think Alabama. Somebody said Ole Miss might make it, but I don't follow college that much, but I'm learning to figure out how many conference there is, and there's a lot of them.
Well, there's the conference realignment. So you had teams from the Pac-12 go. Some of them went to the Big Ten.
Yep.
And some of the teams in the Big 12 went to the SEC. So like Texas now, I believe, is in the SEC. That's a big change.
Yeah, it's a big change. I guess if we do follow this along the road on the sports, I'm learning, how this whole who chooses or how these people with all these teams decide who goes to the national championship. So there's a lot of ranking going on. I know that, which is really interesting. And I never really followed college football. I'm going to try to do my best to keep in line with it. But, a lot of these players are going to be in the NFL, so it'll be interesting to watch. What else you got there, son?
I thought it would be fun just to do pick'ems.
Okay.
So we just go through and pick which team. The first matchup I have is Thursday, September 5th. This is NFL.
Yep.
I thought it would be fun to do an NFL pick'ems. We'll keep score between you and me.
Okay.
I think for simplicity's sake, we'll keep the odds out of it for now.
Yep.
But going forward, I think it would be fun to pick based off of the spread.
That's how you want to pick them?
I want to do that in the future. I think it's more challenging. I mean, a game, so Thursday, September 5th on NBC or Peacock.
Yep.
At 8:20 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
Baltimore at Kansas. Who do you got?
That's an easy one. At Kansas? Yeah. Kansas is going to beat them at home.
I'm going to pick Baltimore.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Kansas City is favored by 3. The over-under is 46.5 points.
Okay.
Do you know what that means?
If you're betting, I guess that's a huge deal.
You know what the over-under means? If I say the over-under is 46.5?
No, go ahead.
So the over and under, when I say is 46.5, that means the total points. If you bet the over, you bet over 46.5 points.
Whoa.
If you bet the under, you're saying that their total score is going to be less than 46.5 points.
So to get money, you got to hit those numbers.
Well, you bet the over,
you're right,
or you bet the under.
Okay.
You bet you say that there's going to be more than 46.5 points scored.
Right.
Or there's going to be less than 46. So you divide that by 2, that would be 23. So if the score is tied 23-23,
yeah,
then you would bet the under. If you say it's going to be 24-23, then you would bet the over.
Okay.
So
that's on September 5th. That's an opener. That's going to be a really good game because those are both good teams.
Yeah. So I'm just going to put Nick.
Yep.
And I'm going to put Dad.
Okay. Okay, so you keep track because I was writing it down. But yeah, that's even better than we have actual. Okay.
On Friday, September 6th, Green Bay at Philadelphia at 8:15 on Peacock.
That is going to be a good game.
Philadelphia is favored by 2.5. The over-under is 48.5. Who do you got?
Well, I think Philadelphia is going to take them at home also as well. What about you?
I'll go with Philadelphia.
Okay. Yeah, these are all good matchups.
All right, Pittsburgh at it. Okay, so Pittsburgh, this is Sunday, September 8th. This is the main.
On Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday. So okay. Pittsburgh at Atlanta. Who do you got? It's at 1 p.m. on Fox, the line. Atlanta is favored by 3. Wow. And the over and under is 41.5.
Because of the quarterback, and they're stacked on when it comes to the receivers, and they've got a good core of people. I would probably go with Atlanta at home with because Pittsburgh is right now trying to figure out their quarterback, but they got a great coach over there. So it's going to be a good game, but I give it to Atlanta.
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Arizona at Buffalo, 1 o'clock start time on CBS. It's in Buffalo at Highmark Stadium, Orchard Park, New York. The line is Buffalo is favored by 6. The over-under is 48.5. Who do you got?
I got Buffalo. Yeah.
Tennessee at Chicago, start time 1 p.m. on Fox, Soldier Field in Chicago. Chicago is favored by 4. The over-under is 43.5.
I would go with Chicago. They've got too many weapons over there. Yep, and Tennessee's got a new coach, and they're at home also.
Yep. This is New England at Cincinnati. Start time is at 1 o'clock on CBS, Paycor Stadium in Cincinnati, Ohio. The line is Cincinnati favored by 9. Oh, the over and under is 42.5. Who you got?
Oh, definitely Cincinnati. New England's in too much of a rebuild mode. New quarterback, new everything.
I think there's no question. Cincinnati's going to win that game. Houston at Indianapolis, start time 1 o'clock on CBS, Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis, Indiana. The line is Houston favored by 2. The over-under is 48.5. Who you got?
Wow, that's a tough one. I like Houston.
Yep, so do I. Jacksonville at Miami, start time is 1 o'clock, CBS, Hard Rock Stadium, Miami Gardens, Florida. The line is Miami favored by 3.5. The over and under is 49.5. That's a high scoring game, according to the line.
I would pick Miami also.
Yep. I am going with Miami.
Yep.
Carolina at New Orleans. Start time is 1 o'clock on Fox. Caesars Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana. New Orleans is favored by 4. The over and under is 39.5. The low scoring game.
New Orleans. They got a good quarterback over there. And Carolina has still got that.
Bryce Young.
Yeah, he's still figuring it out.
I'm going to go with New Orleans as well. Minnesota at New York Giants. Start time is 1 o'clock on Fox, MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The line is even.
Wow.
The over and under is 41.5. So this is an even game. I'm going to take Minnesota.
Who's their quarterback over there now?
I don't know. In Minnesota?
Yeah. I know that Cousins
left. Not Bo Nix.
I forgot who that was. I know that one of the guys that was there left. Oh, is it Darnell?
Sam Darnell.
Yeah, Sam Darnell. Yeah, I would probably go with Minnesota as well. New York's going through a lot of turmoil right now. But they do have Saquon Barkley, so it's going to be tough. But I think Minnesota's going to beat them. They got Diggs. Jefferson. They don't have Saquon Barkley is what I'm saying. They got who did they get? They picked up somebody who was pretty good. I forget who it was. But anyways, yeah. They got rid of Saquon Barkley. Yeah.
Saquon. Las Vegas at Los Angeles Chargers. Start time 4:05 p.m. CBS. SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California. The line is the LA Chargers are favored by 3.5. The over and under is 42.5.
Who would you pick? I
think I'm going to take the Chargers on that one.
I watched them play yesterday. I know there's a lot of their guys on the practice squad, but they got Herbert. He's pretty amazing. And a quarterback.
Who are you picking?
I'm thinking the Chargers as well.
Denver at Seattle, 4:05 start time on CBS, Lumen Field, Seattle, Washington. Seattle is favored by 5. The over and under is 41.5.
I like the Denver's coach. Seattle has a new coach. I'm going to go with Denver. I think that's going to be an upset.
I'm going to stick with Seattle. Dallas at Cleveland, 4:25 start time, Fox, Cleveland Browns Stadium, Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland is favored by 2.5 points. Really? The over and under is 43.5. I'm picking Cleveland.
Oh, I'm not. I'm going to pick Dallas. Dak's going to have to make a statement so he can get his contract this year. So I think he's going to play really well. I think Dak's going to show his cards, hopefully.
Washington at Tampa Bay, 4:25 start time on Fox, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. Tampa is favored by 3. The over and under is 41.5.
Tampa Bay.
I'm going with Tampa as well. Los Angeles Rams at Detroit, 8:20 start time on NBC and Peacock, Ford Field, Detroit, Michigan. Detroit is favored 3.5. The over and under is 51.5. Who you got?
Oh, definitely Detroit.
Man, if we were playing the over and under on this.
What is that?
It's 3.5.
For Detroit, right?
For Detroit. Because they're at home. If we were playing it, I might pick the Rams. Because I think this is going to be a very close game.
Yeah.
You're picking the
I'm picking Detroit Lions because they're at home. And they got a lot to prove here.
Yeah. I'm going to pick the Rams. I'm very...
I think Stafford.
I think the Rams are going to have a good team this year. Jets at San Francisco.
This is
a Monday game, Monday, September 9th. 8:20 start time. And I don't see a TV station. So I don't know what TV station it's going to be on. Levi Stadium, Santa Clara, California. San Francisco is favored 4.5. The over and under is 44.5. Who you got?
San Fran. I don't think that the Jets.
You don't think Aaron Rodgers and the Jets can pull it out?
Oh, I don't.
You might not have Trent Williams, and you might not have Brandon Ayuk.
Still, they got McCaffrey, and they got Deebo Samuels. They got Kittle, and they're loaded. And their defense, they didn't lose anybody. I think the Jets are going to have all they can handle there.
Yeah, I do too. I'm picking San Francisco. All right. That brings us to Random Acts of Kindness.
What are we on there for time?
57 minutes.
Yeah. All right. What I had is, I scoured through quite a few of these on these Random Acts of Kindness, and it's really, really neat to see that some of these.
Did
really
you want me to play that clip?
Yeah, you can play that clip. I think, it's a social experiment, but I actually saw it in my own eyes and it really touched my heart. Yeah, you can play it.
What do you think would happen if you gave kids money in this situation? Would they buy ice cream for themselves or give the money to the homeless people? Let's see what these kids decided to do.
Basically, this clip showed
the little girl give the ice cream to the.
Isn't that nice? So,
is that the end of it?
Yeah, it was really touching because I was like, what would you if you gave something to your kid and they walked past a couple homeless people that are destitute and just struggling with life and all the stuff that goes around it, what would they do? And that just really touched me pretty hard. And the other thing that I had, we don't need to show the clip, but I can just give you sort of a. And if you want to look at it, I'm pretty sure I'll have the timestamp on the show notes. And with this video, it just shows a guy on a subway, and there's an elderly African American. Older man, he's just sitting there and he doesn't have a shirt on, and he just you can tell he's struggling. Well, this man takes his shirt off, puts it on him, takes his hat off and puts it on him. Obviously it was during a cold time, but it's really neat, because a lot of times you pass these people and you're like, should I do something or should I not do something? And it's easy not to do something and walk away and just forget about it, but to actually do something about what's touched you, I think, is it restores my faith in humanity because there's so much bad stuff going on. So I really wanted to bring that up. So that was it, what I had. But like I said, I look at quite a few of these, and if you want to look at it, it's pretty touching. But that's all I had on the Random Acts of Kindness.
This week in history.
There was a lot in there that happened that week.
I'll just go through what I had. Kobe Bryant was born 1978, and the only reason why that's important to me is because he's number 24. I'm number 24.
Yeah.
Us number 24s like to stick together.
Yeah. Your number was 24 when you played all your sports. Yeah.
1973, a botched bank robbery in Stockholm resulted in a hostage situation. And over the course of a six-day standoff, the captives formed an unlikely bond with their captor, giving rise to the term Stockholm Syndrome. So that happened this week in 1973.
I used to teach a class on stress, too, on the Stockholm Syndrome. And it's because when I worked in the prison system, we used to have to teach that in case people became hostage. So we'd have to teach people how to deal and cope with that. And stress too, talked about the Stockholm Syndrome. So,
in 1305, William Wallace was executed for treason, condemned for leading Scottish resistance forces during the first years of the long and ultimately successful struggle to free Scotland from English rule. I saw this week also Indonesian independence. They celebrate their independence this week from Japan and the Netherlands. And that happened in August
23rd, 1949. Well, in 1953, and I think it was August 20th, the U.S. admitted that they had detonated Mike, was the code name of the first nuclear weapon, hydrogen bomb, in the Marshall Islands on November 1st, 19. It took them over a year to say what had happened. These islands are located about halfway between Hawaii and Australia.
We definitely detonated a nuclear weapon prior to that.
Oh yeah, we did. But it was one of the ones that it was a thermonuclear, and I was trying to figure out, you know, what the difference of that.
Wrote hydrogen bomb, yeah, because the bombs that we blew up to that point, I believe, were uranium and plutonium. They were not hydrogen bombs.
I don't know if that clip that I had in there, it described it really good of how massive it was. I think the clip's like 30 seconds. I don't know if you can get it. It's not there. Yeah. But it was, it went way up in the sky and just had a big mushroom cloud, and just the fallout on it was and they actually had a gentleman describing what it looked like. But it was pretty massive. And the other thing I had to happen in history, in 1975, again in August, we launched a spacecraft to land on Mars, Viking 1. It was a two-part mission to investigate the red planet to search for signs of life. I thought that was pretty cool.
I don't think you need to do the next one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I had on what I had, you know, for that. So,
all right. We did it. I don't know how.
I know you were tired. I'm a little tired. Wiped. Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm wiped. Yeah. I hope that there was less stuttering. There was less ums. There was less so's. You know, so. I hope that there. Our speech was a little bit more eloquent and controlled this time. That was our goal. And I hope I also don't come across as hostile. I'm not hostile. I'm really not hostile. I'm
passionate. The way I look at it. I thought that, you know, we're learning, and you guys are seeing it evolve the way it goes. And we just hope that, we get better as we go, which I hope.
I think this show evolves to something that it is not what it is right now. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I don't think it looks anything like what we have. I really want us to get used to being on the mic and controlling our voice before we start diving too deep into opinions and maybe some other topics that we're both more passionate about. I think sticking to the news and sports and trying to keep it as objective as possible is probably our best strategy until we find our voice on the mic.
And hopefully you guys, if you are listening to this, and we just hope you'd be patient with us and to be continued. And I'm enjoying this time with my son and learning a lot of new things about a lot of things. So there's that. So
that really is the end of the show.
Well,
so thanks again. I'm Pick.
And I'm Shovel.
We are thankful. We're grateful.
We're blessed.
We're blessed. And I love you, Dad. I really do.
I love you too, son. All right. See you next week.